This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what you're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy Wednesday. I hope you're enjoying a day. From what I understand, it is hot. It is hot out there. So hope you're staying cool and hydrated. And I commented on, I don't know if I commented on the air, but on our Facebook Live, you can watch and comment along. And I said that I've been suffering from some vertigo issues here lately. And somebody said that that could be related to lack of hydration, or it could be related to too much caffeine. I think that the caffeine thing is probably it.
Yeah, you are always drinking water in like a tumbler, always.
I have water. Here's my, this is an energy drink that is based on like healthy stuff from Slim 180. It's an orange drink that I use actually to replace caffeine so that I don't have to have caffeine in the midst. Before we get to Adam Schuster here on the show, I want to show you this thing. If you're watching on the Facebook Live right now or the YouTube Live, this video, this is an insane story here. A wide receiver, an ex-wide receiver, catches a child that was thrown from a burning building.
Oh my gosh.
It is unbelievable. His name is Philip Blanks. He's a former college football player and an ex-Marine, and this building is engulfed in flames, and he catches this child who is tossed from the third floor. Oh my gosh, I'm watching this. It is unbelievable. He catches the child. Everybody was fine, and, you know, like, not that it should matter here, but he's black and the kid is white. Like, does that need to be part of this narrative? It doesn't. But it's a great story of something that could have gone tragically wrong. And you know, he talks in here a little bit about his instincts. He said, there wasn't much thinking. I just reacted. I just did it. He credits football and he credits his mindset to serve others. Obviously, he's a Marine, so he has definitely served others. But
God,
what a
him.
Story. I'm going to send you this link, Katie, so we can share it.
Perfect.
Wow. Good on Philip Banks. Thank you for being a hero in more ways than one. Do we have Adam Schuster? We have
Adam
Schuster.
Sure do.
Let's get Adam Schuster on here. I'm very excited to talk to him about this story that is circling a lot of conversations in the state of Illinois right now. What does it mean when Governor Pritzker spends over $51 million to try to push through his progressive income tax? He wants a yes vote in November on his fair tax, the fair tax and the progressive tax. I'm not sure what the literature is, and maybe Adam can help us here on how it's going to look on the ballot. But I want to make sure people understand this, because I'm seeing the vote yes ads that are being put out there right now, and it's asking for fairness. Vote yes for fairness. Well, Adam, thank you for coming on here with the Illinois Policy Institute. You're the budget and tax research director. Any concern for taxpayers in the state of Illinois, for business owners in the state of Illinois on what J.B. Pritzker says is fair?
Yeah, absolutely. And really, you know, I think voters can just look back. We're only about 3 years out from the anniversary of the last major income tax hike we had in the state. On July 6, 2017, the General Assembly overrode Governor Bruce Rauner's then veto of the largest permanent income tax hike in our state's history. And it hasn't even been 3 years, and they're coming back asking taxpayers for more money. And so what I've been suggesting is that we should look at the results of the last tax increase, see where the money went, see, you know, how state finances changed. And what you see is that the debt burdens continued to grow, the spending continued to grow. Huge portions of the new money that the state brought in went to pensions and debt service, not to, to greater services for Illinoisans. Our credit rating hasn't changed, and our economy has only gotten worse. So, you know, the argument I would make to voters is simply they haven't tried anything other than coming back to taxpayers and treating them like bottomless piggy bank. The last time they tried to do this, it failed. So why would you trust them with more of your money now?
Adam Schuster, your budget and tax director at Illinois Policy, as you're looking at this progressive tax or fair tax or whatever we're calling it now, is there anybody who will benefit from this tax? I mean, are they saying that everybody's taxes will go up above a certain point and some people's will go down? Or is it just everybody? Some people's go up, some people stay the same.
That's a great question. So they are saying that you will get income tax relief for certain segments of the population, according to Governor Pritzker. But when you actually dive into it, it's virtually nothing. So for very low income residents, you know, somebody making around $12,000 a year, they would save just $6. $6 per year on their income taxes.
From the billionaire.
That supposed tax savings has already been more than wiped out by the tax and fee increases that were pushed through last year. That's, you know, doubling the gas tax increase, higher vehicle registration fees, higher online sales taxes, a whole range of things that the General Assembly did last year. You know, your typical consumer has already, you know, seen their taxes go up by more than they would see under the progressive rate plan. But what's really concerning is not the initial set of rates that are attached to this, but the fact that, you know, if you eliminate the flat tax protection from the Constitution, and you also, by the way, would be eliminating the prohibition that there can only be one income tax at a time. That's another thing this amendment does that people don't often talk about. Yeah, so under the current Constitution, it says that there can only be one income tax imposed on businesses and one income tax imposed on individuals. But the text of the amendment actually strikes that and would allow the General Assembly to establish multiple income taxes potentially, which is something you've actually seen in other progressive tax states. So they could tax your same income multiple times. For example, if they wanted to have a regular income tax plus a special surcharge just for the pension debt or something like that, this would give them the power to do that. And so the ultimate concern is that middle class taxes will go up as well as, you know, the quote unquote rich.
I want to ask you about the support for the fair tax. I'm reading this article on illinoispolicy.org that we will share as well. And it says Pritzker almost single-handedly has been funding the Vote Yes for Fairness Committee, being run by his former deputy campaign manager. Besides the $51.5 million donated June 26, he also gave $5 million in December. Is anybody else actively financially supporting this yes vote? And if it's pretty much limited to Pritzker, what does he have to gain in a passage of this in November?
I think, you know, what Pritzker has to gain is the ability to keep the status quo going in Illinois for a little bit longer. So, you know, Pritzker is the primary backer of this financially. He's a multi-billionaire himself who comes from a very wealthy family. You know, they've been accused in the past of cheating on their own taxes, but like including their property taxes. The Cook County assessor called it a scheme to defraud taxpayers. But he wants people to think it's about tax fairness, that it's about, you know, making the rich pay more. In reality, it's about giving the General Assembly and giving Springfield politicians more power to choose who to tax, how much to tax them, how many times to tax them. And so I think that, you know, nobody really wins from this unless you're part of the establishment in Springfield that benefits by, you know, keeping their essentially legal corruption going, where taxpayers and businesses are forced to service, unreasonable levels of spending on pensions and debt in particular. And so that's the ultimate goal here, I think, is to prop up their system a little while longer. It would ultimately fail to prop it up, but that's what they're going for.
Adam, is it possible that the opposite could happen? Not that they would want it to happen, but if the progressive tax were to fail and not become law and change the Illinois Constitution, that they would have to address some of these budget issues instead of just sort of kicking the can down the road again with this tax.
I think that's right, and that's certainly the hope, is that if voters speak in a single clear voice and tell Springfield enough is enough, you've taxed us enough, we're one of the highest tax states in the nation already, you have enough money, it's time to get your spending and debt under control, I'm hopeful that they'll finally get the message. This is about preserving the protection, the flat tax protection that makes it harder for them to raise taxes on everybody.
Adam, I have a comment here from our Facebook Live from Barb. It said, what about taxing Social Security? I've also read some articles that suggest that the progressive income tax will lead us into the potential of taxing retirement income for people in this state. What does the future look like for people who are living here who may want to retire here regarding the hard work and effort they've put into saving for retirement?
Unfortunately, I think that the progressive income tax makes a retirement tax much more likely, because it would empower the General Assembly to segment the population, and they could start with a tax on only, say, six-figure retirement income or six-figure pensions. But when that inevitably isn't enough money, just like with the regular income tax, they could lower the rates the bracket at which the thresholds at which the higher rates take effect on retirement income. And actually, a number of progressive tax proponents have actually explicitly said that the next step after a progressive income tax is a retirement income tax. That includes the Democratic Treasurer Michael Frerichs. It includes former state senator and gubernatorial candidate Dan Biss, the Chicago Sun-Times editorial board. So there's a bunch of progressive tax proponents who themselves are saying, this is step one, get the progressive tax through. Step two is that we want to start taxing retirement income. And the really absurd thing about this is, because of our pension clause, it's quite possible the courts could say that the tax could not apply to public pensions, but only private pensions. So you could end up with a situation where you're taxing Social Security, 401ks, and private pensions to pay for public pensions that aren't taxed.
Oh my gosh. I mean, what's the alternative here? Is it spending? It's pension reform, it's spending reform. And the only way that that's going to happen, I mean, that's not going to happen with this current government structure that we have.
Well, they need to be told no. I mean, the General Assembly needs to be told no. They haven't been told no before, and they've tried the same strategy really for the last decade or longer, which is hiking taxes. They hiked taxes in 2011. They hiked them again in 2017. These tax hikes haven't been effective. That's, not a political statement. It's just by the numbers, the debt burdens have continued to grow. The economy's gotten worse. Out-migration's gotten worse. The tax hikes have failed. And so what they're asking for now is for permission from voters to double down on that same failed strategy. And if voters tell them no, we're hopeful that they can be forced to pivot to another strategy, which, like you said, is pension reform. And that can be modest pension reform. It doesn't mean taking away retirement security from public servants. And it means, other common sense spending and budget reforms to keep the growth in our spending in line with what our taxpayers can actually afford, so we can get to a point where we actually can start talking about reducing taxes in the state, which is what we need if we want to have a strong recovery, especially after the coronavirus recession.
Oh, my goodness. Adam, thank you so much for this important information. Always great to talk to you. And we're going to continue to follow this as we step closer and closer to November.
Thank you very much.
We'll talk to you again soon. Adam Schuster is the director of budget and tax research at Illinois Policy Institute, online at illinoispolicy.org. So just in case you didn't get that completely, my question about taxing retirement in the state of Illinois. The current pension law, as it exists right now, could potentially not allow public pensions to be taxed. Private could be taxed. All of that Social Security and private income that you would have, that you have saved in the private sector for your retirement, could be taxed, and it would be being taxed in order to fund the non-taxable public pensions. Folks, vote smart in November. We have got to get new people in the House. We have got to get new laws passed. We have to be able to have these conversations meaningfully about pension reform. Heck, term limits, if you want that. We need 4 seats in the House to flip from blue to red. 4 seats is your resistance. If you get 16 seats in the House, that is a Illinois state revolution, because Mike Madigan will have to take a seat. He will no longer be the speaker because he would then be in a minority. We need 4 seats just to even have a voice. 4 seats is a resistance. 16 seats is a revolution. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about Kanye, who is Katie's favorite person in the world, and she cannot wait to vote for him for president. She told me that. She signed
I did.
She wrote it down and signed it and dated it so that
That's
it would
the
be
truth.
Proof, factual information. Everyone's going to like Katie.
Whoa, Katie. Slow her down.
Yeah, no joke. Let's talk about Kanye when we come back. He's got some interesting things to say. Katie calls him interesting. I think they're crazy. We'll be back in a minute. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thanks for joining us. I want to invite you to join myself and Erica Murphy. She is my co-host on the Pixie Dust podcast, which I host. That's where I channel in all of my Disney conversation that I'm limiting here on the air with you. And tonight at 7 o'clock, if you go to the Pixie Dust podcast Facebook page, I probably stream it on the Annie Fry Show Facebook page too. I'm not 100% sure yet. But you can go to the Pixie Dust podcast Facebook page. We will be doing a live podcast recording, and Tony Colombo is going to be on with us at 7 p.m. And I'm saying that on the air because he told me he would do it. And now that it's on the air, he has to.
Mm-hmm. Hold him accountable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's science, right? Speaking of other things that are out there in the open that are really like crazy that you definitely want to know about, Kanye West, which I'm not somebody who's advocating for Kanye West for president, of course, because that's not even going to happen, which is what George Clooney said about Donald Trump. And George Clooney and I have the same amount of clout, so it's the same.
We're basically the same.
Yeah, totally. There's a Forbes article, and I shared this with Katie last night, and she wrote back. She said, Kanye is so interesting. And I was like, well, that's one way to explain it. Headline is, Kanye West says he's done with Trump, opens up about White House bid, damaging Biden, and everything in between. So I'm just going to give you some of the bullet points here about Kanye West's announcement over this 4th of July weekend that he is throwing his hat, which is no longer the MAGA red hat, into the ring for the presidency. Let's see here. On his natural political party, this is according to Forbes, quote, I would run as a Republican if Trump wasn't there. I will run as an independent if Trump is there. On his previous support for Trump, quote, Trump is the closest president we've had in years to allowing God to still be part of the conversation, end quote. On his MAGA hat moment, quote, one of the main reasons I wore the red hat as a protest to the segregation of votes in the black community. Also, other than the fact that I like Trump hotels and the saxophones in the lobby. On discussions on race with the White House, quote, one time I talked to Jared Kushner, who was saying, quote, we don't have black leaders. We just have hustlers. Why? Because they killed all the black leaders. And then in parentheses, requests for comment on the White House and the Kushner company last night were not immediately returned.
Surprise.
Yeah,
on Democrats, surprise. Quote, on Democrats, quote, that is a form of racism and white supremacy and white control to say that all black people need to be Democrat and to assume that me running is me splitting the vote. All of that information is being charged up on social media platforms by Democrats. And Democrats used to tell me, the same Democrats have threatened me, the reason why this is the first day I registered to vote is because I was scared. I was told that if I voted on Trump, my music career would be over. I was threatened into being in one party. I was threatened as a celebrity into being in one party. I was threatened as a black man into the Democratic Party. And that's what the Democrats are doing emotionally to my people, threatening them to the point where this white man can tell a black man, if you don't vote for me, you're not black.
Okay, mic drop. Here we go.
On how the race will be decided. Again, this is according to this Forbes article. Quote, let's see if the appointing is at 2020 or if it's 2024, because God appoints the president. If I win in 2020, then it was God's appointment. If I win in 2024, then that was God's appointment. It's funny how the only two options there is that he either wins in 2020 or 2020.
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
That's Kanye.
On the coronavirus cure, quote, "We pray. We pray for the freedom. It's all about God. We need to stop doing things that make God mad," end quote. On vaccines, quote, "It's so many of our children that are being vaccinated and paralyzed. So when they say the way we're going to fix COVID is with a vaccine, I'm extremely cautious. That's the mark of the beast. They want to put chips inside of us. They want to do all kinds of things to make it where we can't cross the gates of heaven. I'm sorry when I say they, the humans that have the devil inside them. And the sad thing is that the saddest thing is that we all won't make it to heaven. That there will be some of us that do not make it." Next question. Wow. I mean, like, this is drinking out of a fire hose for me. I'm like, yeah, Conway, that's, ooh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's,
Like, I don't want to pick and choose here the things that I agree with and only give you the things that I agree with. I'm just telling you what he said here. On deciding to run for president, quote, "It's when I was being offered the Michael Jackson Video Vanguard Awards, MTV. I remember being at my mom's house, my mother-in-law, because my house was being worked on. She calls me son and I call her mom. I was in the shower thinking, I write raps in the shower. It hit me to say, quote, you're going to run for president, end quote. And I started laughing hysterically. I was like, this is the best. I'm going to go out there and they're going to think I'm going to do these songs and do this for entertainment, how rigged award shows are, and then say, I'm president. And I just laughed in the shower. I don't know for how long, but that's the moment it hit me.
That I'm going to do it. Gosh.
On his foreign policy, quote, "I haven't developed it yet. I'm focused on protecting America first with our great military. Let's focus on ourselves first."
Okay.
On abortion, quote, "I'm pro-life because I'm following the word of the Bible," end quote. On being a political novice, quote, "I have to say with all humanity that as a man, I don't have all the pieces in the puzzle. As I speak to you for what a political campaign, a political walk, as I told you, because I'm not running, I'm walking. I'm not running. We the people are walking. We're not running anymore. We're not running. We're not excited. We are energized. Someone can say, quote, hey, I got a brand new car for you. It's across the street. And you get so excited, you run across the street and get hit by a car trying to run to your new car. That's how they control the black community, through emotions. They get us excited. We're so excited. But then for 400 years, the change doesn't truly happen." I mean, there's just more and more. I want to read it all to you. I don't know why I wouldn't. Oh, here's one that I have to read.
Oh, gosh, I'm nervous.
On the Wakanda management model. Oh,
yes, gosh. I saw this one.
Quote, "A lot of Africans do not like the movie Black Panther and representation of themselves in Wakanda." Now, if you're not, interjection, this is not Kanye speaking. This is Annie speaking, and hopefully you could tell that on your own. Wakanda is the name of the country that Black Panther is from. Black Panther is one of the movies in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's an Avengers movie, and it is a really good movie. I love Black Panther. Katie, are you a fan of it?
Oh, it's amazing.
It's one of the best in the MCU. Ryan, have you seen it?
No, I've only seen about half the Marvel movies.
God,
so
this one's good.
Okay, so I would highly recommend seeing Black Panther. And so when I say Wakanda, and you're like, what the heck's Wakanda? It is an imaginary country in the Marvel universe, and it's where Black Panther is the leader of. So he says, "A lot of Africans do not like the movie Black Panther and representation of themselves in Wakanda, but I'm going to use the framework of Wakanda right now because it's the best explanation of what our design group is going to feel like in the White House. That is a positive idea. You got Kanye West, one of the most powerful humans. I'm not saying the most, because you got a lot of alien level superpowers, and it's only collectively that we can set it free. Let's get back to Wakanda. Like in the movie, in Wakanda, when the king went to visit that lead scientist to have those shoes wrap around her shoes. Just the amount of innovation that can happen." Of course, it has to do with shoes. "The amount of innovation in medicine, like big pharma. We're going to work, innovate together. This is not going to be some Nipsey Hussle being murdered. They're doing a documentary. We have so many soldiers that die for our freedom of information, that there is a cure for AIDS out there. There's going to be a mix of big pharma and holistic." I don't get it.
See, this is the problem with Kanye is that he just, it's total stream of consciousness. It is total stream of whatever is popping here. It goes out there.
I think he's probably genius level. His mind isn't contained.
Yes.
You know, on taxes, this is something that is important to everybody who is going to potentially be voting for Kanye West for president. On taxes, quote, I haven't done enough research on that yet.
Great.
I will research that with the strongest experts that serve God and come back with the best solution. And that will be my answer for anything that I haven't researched. I have the earplug in and I'm going to use that earplug.
I can't vote for him until I know his tax policies. Mm. I'm sorry.
You're putting your foot down there?
That's where I draw the line. I was with him halfway, but what's your tax policy, Kanye?
We gotta know.
At least he's honest and he didn't bologna sausage his way through it. On capital punishment, quote, thou shalt not kill, I'm against the death penalty, end quote.
All right.
It seems to me as though he has done a lot of biblical research. Like, I feel like the things that he says when he's citing anything that has to do with religion, that there is has been an effort made to educate him on the ways of religion and the Bible. I'm not saying that, like, I'm giving him an A+ on it, nor would I ever expect that I have any grades to give on that, and vice versa. But it does not seem as though when he speaks from a religious place, like, he is so unashamed to talk about his faith. It is actually the leading thing in where he comes from on any of these issues, which is, I think, worthy of note.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it seems obvious that he knows his scripture pretty well. I mean, that's where he goes to first when you ask him a question, and that you have to respect him saying, well, I don't know, but at least saying this is the foundation where I'm going to come from. It's going to be the Bible. I mean, I like that. I do question whether or not, does anybody know if he has an album coming out soon? Because I kind of wonder.
He just had a song out. On his other priorities, quote, so he hasn't researched the tax stuff yet, but quote, clean up the chemicals in our deodorant, in our toothpaste. There are chemicals that affect our ability to be of service to God, end quote. And then, you know, I don't know how responsible Make America Great Again was for getting Donald Trump elected, although I think it was a very, very good campaign slogan. On his campaign slogan, Kanye, quote, well, my second album is called Late Registration. I got a rap. The other thing is my campaign is Kanye West. Yes. Not yep. Not yeah. Yes, yes, yes. When I'm president, let's also have some fun. Let's get past all the racism conversation. Let's empower people with 40 acres and a mule. Let's give some land. That's the plan.
Well, I did research a little bit. He's going to have to win without winning North Carolina, Texas, New Mexico, or Indiana because the deadline to register and be on the ballot in those states is passed.
Also Illinois. So, yeah, okay. Like I said, it's not going to happen. But this is really interesting stuff. On Joe Biden, quote, a lot of times, just like political parties, they feel all blacks have to be Democrat. This man, Joe Biden, said, if you don't vote for me, then you are not black. Well, act like we didn't hear that. We act like we didn't hear that man say that. That man said that. It's a wrap. We gonna walk all the people. Jay-Z said it best. For the other candidates, I just gracefully suggest y'all bow out. Trump and Biden gracefully bow out. It's God's country. We are doing everything in service to God. Nobody but God, no more. I am in service to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and I put everything I get on the line to serve God. And Todd on our Facebook Live said Biden is his own husband, which if you didn't hear that soundbite, Biden says over the weekend, he goes, I'm Joe Biden. Joe Biden's husband.
Oh, God.
I did not hear that. That's great.
Either. I love it.
If Trump would have said that, we'll have to come back with that. If Trump would have said something stupid like that, you wouldn't be able to run away from it.
No, you can't. You can't. You've got to just face something like that head on and say, what?
The people who would show up and vote for Kanye West, there's nobody who's supporting Trump right now, in my opinion, who's going to go, no, I think Kanye West has a chance. That's not going to happen. I think there could be a significant portion of people that may not love Trump who would be excited to vote for Kanye West because, if anything, chaos is as attractive as any actual orderly process in our government structure. I don't see how Joe Biden benefits one iota from what Kanye West is doing. And I got to be honest, if Kanye West were only to be able to get, we live in a republic that is, we elect people by the Electoral College. And of all of the states that were listed there, I mean, depending on how many of them were, I mean, there are some states that Biden is absolutely going to win. And there are some states that Trump absolutely is going to win. It's the swing states, which is why I want to remind you folks, when you are looking at polls, I hate talking about polls. I abhor polls. I think they're crap. And I think that they're only put out into the ether in order to sway people's opinion, which is the exact opposite of what a poll is supposed to be. It's just supposed to be a number that reflects facts. Well, I don't believe them. I don't rely on them, which is why I never talk about them. But when you hear people talk about polls and how the president is trailing in these polls, they are very often national polls. And as we know, the president didn't even win the popular vote in 2016, but he is, in fact, still your president. Let's take a quick break. If you want to react to some of this Kanye stuff, I'd love to hear from you. 314-241-9797. We can get some phone calls on here. Join us on our YouTube page and make sure that you go watch the ASMR videos that Ryan and Katie created that are on our Annie Fry YouTube page, and give the thumbs up for whomever I should buy lunch for next week, and subscribe to the channel while you're there. We'll be right back in a minute.
And New York Mets, it's supposed to be opening day. Opening day. Wow. You know what? This is not the way to win voters, Mr.
Well,
Vice President.
I'll tell you what, but it's a way to be able to sleep with my wife.
Okay. Yikes. Imagine if Trump said that.
Oh, my gosh. I have that clip if you want me to.
That's yeah, hit it with us.
Good afternoon, everyone. As Lily already indicated, I'm Joe Biden's husband, Joe Biden.
Play it again, Sam.
Good afternoon, everyone. As Lily already indicated, I'm Joe Biden's husband, Joe Biden.
I don't even... First of all, I don't know what the first seven words that he says. Do you know what I'm saying?
Like, good afternoon, everyone, maybe?
The only thing that's clear is that he is his own husband.
Good afternoon, everyone. As Lily already indicated, I'm Joe Biden's husband, Joe Biden.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Joe Biden's husband, Joe Biden.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. How old is Joe Biden again? Do we 70 something, correct?
I think he's 78, I'm guessing.
So Ringo Starr just had his birthday. I think it was yesterday.
Yes.
He just turned 80.
Unbelievable.
He looks like a dime. He looks amazing.
For folks at home, that means he's a 10.
Oh, a dime means 10. Okay.
And for folks on the show as well.
Yeah.
You get it? Yeah. He looks amazing. And I am like floored that Ringo Starr is 80 and has amazing genes. And then we have poor Joe Biden.
I didn't know you were into like 80-year-old men.
Yeah. You learn something new every day.
Right? Nothing wrong with older men.
That's correct. I didn't know you were. So do you think Paul McCartney still looks good too?
Not as good as Ringo. I'll tell you that.
I have to agree.
Ringo looks really good.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Is it? Because
who's the most attractive 80-year-old you know?
I don't know how old.
Good afternoon, everyone. As Lily already indicated, I'm Joe Biden's husband, Joe Biden.
Oh my gosh. I don't get it.
They stopped tracking how old Paul McCartney got after he turned 64 because of the song. I'm 64.
This is from April 22nd. This is Britt Hume.
He's been having a hard time keeping his thoughts together and being able to, you know, say what he needs to say. I have no doubt about what the problem is. I'm about the same age as he is, and I experience the same kind of memory problems he does. I think he's senile, and I don't think there can be much doubt about it. It's not necessarily crippling, but it doesn't help. And I think, you know, people who look at that, people come to that conclusion, they may be hesitant to put him in the White House. So I think that's kind of where it is. I think he's Donald Trump's best hope.
Do you remember when Donald Trump won the election, the very first effort to keeping him from the White House, which has persisted until this very day to remove him from the White House, the very first effort was the Electoral College, which we just had a huge Supreme Court victory on here recently to re-emphasize the value of the Electoral College. And us here in the Midwest, specifically in the state of Missouri, Illinois is a little bit more of a lost cause. The Electoral College is so very necessary. You would never see in this region, anywhere near this region, you would never see a campaign for president again. They would only go to the places where Hillary won, which is the populous locations in New York and the populous locations in L.A., in and around L.A., and maybe a few other places to make sure that they could get the biggest bang for their buck. That's where they'd spend all their money, and that's where they would go. The first effort to remove Donald Trump or to keep him from going into the Oval Office was the Electoral College. And then they tried to threaten his removal by saying that he was unfit to serve. They talked about the 25th Amendment a lot. It still comes up. There are three things that they tried to do to get the president out of office. One was to attack his character, which, while his character has a significant amount of flaws, we knew about all of them when we chose to vote for him. There was no bait and switch. There was no effort to get elected to act like you were a flawless choir boy, perfect individual family man. And then all of a sudden we're like, oh, he said this one time he was going to grab this lady in this inappropriate way. I can't believe I voted for him. People who voted for him knew his failures and they knew what he was up against and they chose to vote for him. So they elected a man, character flaws and all. That was the first one. The second one was saying that he was in collusion with Russia, saying that he stole the election from the American people in his relationships with Vladimir Putin and with Russia, saying that the actual election in and of itself was not fair and should be negated. And the third one was the 25th Amendment, saying that he was mentally unfit to serve. If we elect Joe Biden in this mental capacity, is it kind of the same as the character flaw that we elected Donald Trump with, which we knew that he wasn't as sharp as he has ever been? We knew that it wasn't something that we knew his capacity at the time, and we chose to elect him that way. I don't know. But the 25th Amendment was certainly something that was in constant discussion, and I'm sure is still part of the discussion in some circles regarding Donald Trump. It would be incredibly hypocritical and predictable for the 25th Amendment to be nowhere near the discussion that takes place on cable news every evening by all of the pundits who want to have this president be removed from office if Joe Biden were to win. But is there any question in your mind, any at all, that Joe Biden does not have his full wits about him?
Man. They will start talking about the 25th Amendment on November 3rd if Biden wins.
I don't think that they will. That's my whole point. Is that it's not going to become
brought up.
No, it's not going to be brought up because they need him there.
Not by the media.
Yeah, that's the point.
Yeah,
like, no,
yeah.
You can't have these conversations and not have the same advocacy in the media that you had before. If nobody's going to let you talk in public about it, then it doesn't happen. It's a tree falling in the woods that nobody's going to hear. Then it doesn't happen, which is why I say it won't be brought up.
I just mean by his handlers. Like, I think they're already talking about it.
By Joe Biden's handlers? You think Joe Biden's people are going to invoke the 25th Amendment on Joe Biden?
I think his own party is planning it.
Wow. Well, that is conspiratorial. Dang. I don't co-sign on that, but that you can go to Ryan Wiggins on that if that actually ends up happening. I am so sick and tired of the hypocrisy. You know, if Donald Trump is unfit to serve, he's unfit to serve. I don't think he is unfit to serve. I think he's one of the most whip smart people we've had in there in a long time, who's willing to go outside of the box and to engage in conversations, just like we talked with Jim Carafano yesterday. You know, what Trump did is he would be willing to have a conversation with Vladimir Putin if he thought it was in the best interest of this country. And in spite of the relationship that he has that the United States has with Russia, that if there was a way to push this forward and improve the relationship, that Donald Trump would be willing to do that because he makes deals. That's what he does. He wrote a book about it. You can read it. Thank you for listening today. I posted the link to the YouTube page. We are 27 subscribers short of 900. If you haven't subscribed to the Annie Fry YouTube page, go and subscribe there and join us. Lots of fun stuff to check in on there, including the videos from Katie and Ryan, their ASMR videos. Give the thumbs up to the video you like most, and I'll buy the winner lunch next week. Dave Glover Show coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.